Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I guess it's obvious what happened, but it's just a testament to a whole lot of people. Something like this does not belong to one individual. You know, basketball is a team sport, and you know, you preach to your players that they have to do it together, and that's been the case in my life.
The support of this wonderful city, the fans support us no matter what. All of us share in this record. It's not mine. It's ours here in the city because of all those people that I just mentioned. So that's the joy of it. And after that, that's it. Somebody else will have it down the road.
The ironic thing about this is that Nelly gave me a job when I didn't have one back in 92. And he took me on. And so to be in this position in the same breath as him is, in my opinion, undeserving and quite awkward. Because he was so wonderful and saved my family's ass.
Hashtag give the kid a vote.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Jake King. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Mo Dakiel. And we got a show for you coming up on today's show. We play the game, Do You Believe?, involving four teams in the NBA right now. We'll talk about what's next for Greg Popovich, and we'll get into just what the hell was that, Sixers fans, this last Thursday night. That's right. It's Monday. You're not getting off for that crap. You are not getting off the hook for that weak-ass effort. But first, not a weak-ass effort. We start off with Kevin Durant absolutely cooking the New York Knicks, which, yeah, not a tough thing to do, but he had, like, what, 53 in this game on Sunday? He was unbelievable. When he's going, nobody else is better. I still think he's the best player in the world now that he's healthy again. And Kevin Durant was just on another level. Trey, the Nets are going to need all these games moving forward. And I know we joke a lot about the idea of, you know, just give me Kevin Durant and four guys out there and I like my chances. But after Sunday, I really feel like just give me four NBA players with Kevin Durant and I like my chances. You can pick which ones.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, when you really think about it, KD is just, he's the best player on the planet right now. And he's showing it. I mean, you know, even though it was the New York Knicks, he brought it. Like, they sent doubles. You know, he got it going early in the first half, figured it out in the second half, is doing whatever it takes for his team to, you know, have a fighting chance. And not too many players could do that. You know what I mean? They could just be taken out of the game. And I think regardless of all those constant lineup changes, you know, he has proven it. And you can put anybody out there as long as you can get him the ball. You got a better chance of winning the ball game.
The effort was 19 of 37 from the field for 53 points, 11 of 12 from free throw line, 4 of 13 from deep. Also had 9 assists, Mo. Also, yeah. Like, it's not like he was just gunning out there. Like, he was doing everything. Yes, it's the Knicks, but KD just, man, he's my favorite player to watch when he's going. He really is right now.
When he's healthy, it's just so much fun to watch him, right? And it's not even that. It's he just constantly moves and makes the right play. Like the 9 assists, it's one of those things that double, cool. I'll get off the ball real quickly, and he'll keep moving. That play where he hit the dagger three, they doubled him twice. He got off the ball.
It looked like Steph.
Yeah, it really did, right? Like it really did. And then he relocates to the open spot. RJ Barrett blanks out for 2 seconds on forgetting that he's guarding Kevin Durant. And I mean, he gets a clean three, but it's like he just constantly moves. I'm with you, Zach. Nobody's more fun to watch than him because he just loves playing. Like, you can just tell the way he plays. He loves hooping, and he tries to make the right play every time.
And I liked what he was doing, you know, because I think it was sometime in the third quarter. Maybe it wasn't until the fourth quarter. But at some point, Tom Thibodeau was like, "Look, we're just going to blitz him." Right. Yeah. Like we're throwing a second defender. It was like Jericho Sims, you sprint from the baseline. You're going to be under the hoop. You're going to sprint from the baseline, go double him like 35 feet away from the basket and make him give up the ball. And he was just willing to, you know, I thought the first couple of times, Mo, he, you know, he gave it up and was just kind of stagnant. But like you mentioned, he started moving without the ball moving. They started running more action to get him the ball back in those situations on like some handoff stuff and everything. And so that was fun to see. But I actually liked the tactic from Tom Thibodeau. It just, you know, it's Kevin Durant. I don't know what you do.
Well, you don't worry about the other guys, right? You got to get the ball out of KD's hands. I think their bigger problem was after the first couple of possessions when KD was like, oh, okay, that's what you guys are going to do. They just didn't do a good job of denying him after he gave up the ball. And
yeah,
that's a lot easier said than done, but you know, that's what you got to do when you get him to give up the ball. The whole idea is he can't get it back. And that was their bigger issue for the Knicks, but it's KD. Like, he's going to keep running around through guys and things like that. And with no Kyrie out there, with no, I mean, Seth Curry was a late scratch. I mean, Patty Mills
didn't shoot well. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, you're really kind of struggling, you know, you got to hope Goran Dragic saves you.
It's super tough to take the ball out of Durant's hands too. Because one, he can shoot over the top of anybody. Two, he doesn't need the ball to create a shot for himself. Like, he can do all that stuff off ball. And three, he makes such quick decisions and he's so efficient when he does get it. Like, you saw that move the other night against the Sixers when they doubled him and he just crossed over Embiid and left them behind. And it was just like they didn't guard him with anyone, never mind two guys. So, like, he's one of the toughest guys to double in the entire league, even if he's playing next to Bruce Brown, Andre Drummond, Goran Dragic, and Patty Mills. Like, it's just really, really difficult. I don't know what you can do with him. He is like, he's just the most unstoppable scorer probably I've ever seen. It's just, it's stupid. And that's the most obvious thing in the world to say.
Yeah.
But it's also like every time you watch him, it's just like jaw to the floor. Like this right. Dude is just ridiculous.
The celebration.
And he's so scary as an 8 seed or 7 seed, right? Or whatever he's going to be.
Yeah, somewhat like, look, if you're Miami or Milwaukee, you should be dropping these games. We're watching right now as the Sixers and Magic are in overtime. We're in the final seconds of overtime here. And look, if the Sixers tried to drop this game to avoid that 2 seed, I would not be mad at it. Right, like maybe that's why this game is in overtime. Like, maybe that's why Cole Anthony's been lighting them up in overtime, because why would you ever want to handle the 1 or the 2 seed with Kevin Durant as the prize? Right, get to face him there. The celebration, Trey. The look, I know he was saying you're too little to guard me, but the hand gesture was very offensive to most insecure men. Okay, like that is.
Oh,
that is
man,
not
was
that
so...
is not the you're too small gesture we're used to in the NBA. That was wildly disrespectful.
Listen, I said you were going for the meme, weren't you? He said, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, he knew everybody was watching who all came to see him play. You know what I mean? It was a big matchup. And, you know, Fournier, you know, it was some friendly trash talk out there. So it was welcomed. But instead of, you know, pointing to the ground, everybody does the point to the ground thing. He chose to go a little bit smaller in that instance. So definitely fun. And, you know, obviously I got a chance to poke fun at that meme. So
yeah,
it's great.
It's going to be everywhere. Like, everyone's going to start doing that meme, right? Start doing that hand gesture. Like, that's going to be, because you see, like, I see this in, you know, whatever Instagram videos come across the feed of, like, everyone's like tapping the head when someone gets dunked on. Everyone's, you know, doing the too small, reaching low to the ground thing. This is 100% all the AAU kids are going to start doing this.
Yeah. Well, that's who else are you going to mimic?
Right. Like, exactly. What,
you know, if you're going to mimic somebody.
I feel like that's one of the most underrated parts of the Kevin Durant experience is he is just an absolutely ruthless trash talker.
He is, yeah.
Like to the point where it's almost violent. Like it's like verbal violence.
There's nothing you can do about it. He's too good.
It's not even fair. He's a 7'2" guard. Right. Like, what are you like? What? Like, what are you supposed to do?
There's shit you can do about it.
Well,
like,
well, also, if you guys remember last year, Fournier called him a bitch in the playoff series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And so Durant.
Oh man, I completely forgot about
that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I remember everybody's called me a bitch.
Like, I'm a bitch, huh, Evan? Yeah. Like, that is not the guy to talk stuff to, because he will remember and he will try to torture you. And that's part of why Philadelphia should be a little nervous, because he is out to get James Harden, and now he's out to get the entire city of Philadelphia.
And he's been talking.
Way they treat Ben Simmons.
And he's been talking shit to Joel Embiid all season. Like, that is.
Yeah. They've been going back and forth. Like, that's. We need that series. We've earned that series after everything we've been through. The basketball gods owe us this one.
I don't believe in basketball gods.
Well, whatever, Zach.
I do believe in the basketball gods.
Hell no. Dan Gilbert was the owner of a team
Dan
that won
Gilbert's
a championship.
Your God?
No, I'm saying Dan Gilbert won a championship. There is no God, all right? I'll tell you that right here. Speaking of the Nets, they did go into Philadelphia and waxed the 76ers last Thursday night. It was the big buildup to just a weak effort by the crowd. Look, Philly fans, you can try to spin it and be like, well, we heard about the grievance and we want to make sure that was, I was prepared for something just one notch below what it was for LeBron. Yeah, Cleveland, like, look, you want to be disrespectful? Cleveland knows how to be as ruthless and disrespectful as possible. Like, Philly was so weak. The only time you really heard it was in the pregame, where he came walking out to the court in some warm-up gear. And then when the ball rolled to him on the bench during the game in like the third quarter, it was like a 25-30 point game at that point. And he, I guess, threw it to a referee or something like that. And the crowd went crazy after. And like, other than that, what did, like, they confiscate all the clapping and all the signs and everything? Like, where was that stuff? What happened?
I really wish Simmons had shot a three when he got the ball rolled to him, though. Like, that would have been the ultimate troll. Like, that, take the tech.
Like, he went there in a Louis Vuitton, like, a hockey sweater and a iced out kangaroo necklace that had boxing gloves on. Like, that was it. That was it. And they just, it was so weak. And I don't think we get to ever talk about.
Don't tempt Philadelphia, man. Don't challenge Philadelphia. I feel like they'll rise to this challenge.
Or they'll mildly boo me. They booed their own team louder than they booed Ben Simmons in that game.
This is the challenge they're ready for.
They booed Santa Claus.
But they didn't boo Simmons.
That was their parents. These new Philly fans, soft as hell based on Thursday night.
They logical. Now they're in a fight for their lives in Orlando.
This is a fan base.
Well,
that,
never mind.
This is a fan base that, like, was riding or dying for Markelle Fultz. Where did that go? Where'd the Sam Hinkie love go? This is
Zach's,
I just
doing
expected
Kevin
so
Durant
much more.
Too little sign to the Philly fans right now.
I just expected so much more. I could not believe how disappointing that was. And I honestly think, like, I don't think the game should have had any impact on what the booing was. They could have been down 50. I think you give them hell. Like, if that was the goal, and that's
Listen,
what it sounded like the goal
was.
Zach,
that whole second half should have been focused on Ben Simmons.
100%. Right. 100%.
I mean, because it sure as hell shouldn't have been focused on the court with how bad those guys played.
It was,
no interest. Yeah, no interest in playing defense. once they realized, like, oh, the Nets brought it tonight, I'm good.
Like, it's crazy. Like, look, I know plus minus is whatever, but like, it's crazy that Joel Embiid shot 19 free throws in a game, hit 15 of them, and was minus 30 on the night.
That's unreal.
That's crazy.
That's such an unreal stat. Yeah. And by the way, he had shot 19 free throws by early in the third quarter. They didn't foul him the rest of the quarter. Right.
Right.
Like he didn't play that much in the fourth. But
yeah, he only played 30 minutes on the night. Right.
Yeah. Like, but it was just like, it's such, an impressive performance from the Nets, but just where the hell did the Sixers go, right? Like this whole scary hours, things like that. Maxey only gets 7 shots. You know, Harris goes 5 of 10, but really it was like the quietest, you know, 5 of 10 he went. Like all that stuff, everything they talked, when they finally played a big game, they really shriveled. And everybody was talking, this is playoff intensity, and they shrunk so quickly.
Well, who went 3 of 17 in that game? Playoff intensity, big game, 3 of 17.
George's Nyang?
I mean, James Harden, man. Like, what? Like, did he wear himself out, Trey, run those steps? Like, what? Like, where did James go?
I hate that performative stuff, bro. Listen, all Philly fans, John Gervais, yes, you hear me. I'm saying your name on a national spotlight.
Oh, you've been killing Gervais.
Hey, was eating it up, bro. He did that in Brooklyn too. But the thing was like, I can't believe that they went so crazy about it, right?
It was funny, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this second half of that game, he's icing this calf or this hamstring. And I'm like, if you're hurt, bro, I don't want to see you do nothing. Mm-mm. If you really that hurt, you know what I mean? Like right now, tonight, he's playing 44 plus minutes. And the hamstring looks great. So
not really. 5 of 19 from the field.
Yeah, he just missed a clutch free throw too. The end of overtime here.
I mean, it's Orlando.
This is true. They don't know how to win. But here we go. Watch out, Cole Anthony.
Oh, Cole Anthony almost rubbed that right in Jay King's face. Sixers win 116-114. I mean, the way to redeem this, right, Jay? If you're going to redeem this, you have to get that Sixers-Nets playoff matchup, and it has to be hell. And they have to go to Brooklyn and make it hell as well. It's a short train ride. Like, you can make it work. But Philly fans, like, you're on the verge of just being any other fan base right now based on Thursday night.
Did anyone else watch that game and think, you know what? Harden could be a free agent this summer. what did he say? He said the timing passed for him to file the paperwork to opt in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love for that drama.
I'm kind of kidding. I'm mostly kidding. But at the same time, like, there are huge, huge stakes in Philadelphia right now. And they are like, James Harden is a little older now. And he's not the type of guy who sees things through to the end if they don't go well. So they do have a lot of pressure. And despite what Zach says, I think their fans will let them know if they don't live up to the expectations.
That's the old Sixers fans, man. Not what I saw Thursday night. Maybe that ticket, was too expensive. I don't know.
But Jay, no. They'll let the Sixers know, their own team know, hey, you guys didn't perform the way we needed you to. But we're just shocked after everything they talked about Ben Simmons, they kind of no-showed.
Yeah, but it's tough to stay true to your sick principles when when your favorite team is getting its ass just handed to them and Kevin Durant is stomping on your soul. So
you know how fervent and volatile this fan base was when it was like Henry Sims and Jakar Sampson out there. You can't get up for James Harden.
Do you remember Joel the hell Embiid? They used to give Robert Covington in his rookie year?
Just saying, I miss the Sixers fan base, the one that I used to know. All right, let's.
My man, Tony Roten, we used to get.
Oh, Tony Roten was torture. A killer in summer pro-ams, man. Oh my God.
Tony got stats, man. Tony was a stat pattern.
Tony was getting after it. I've missed Tony Roden. He's probably I was gonna look it up, but he's probably like only 28 years old, and that's gonna depress me that he's not in the league anymore. So we're just gonna move on to an old guy. Greg
Popovich. He is 28.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How is he not in the NBA?
He's 28 years old. 28? He averaged 17 as in his third year. And then played 8 more games for the rest of his career.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Mario Chalmers got a 10-day this year. Joe Johnson got a 10-day.
That's why I didn't realize he averaged 17 and then only played 8 more games.
That's
ever.
Maybe he had his knee amputated and I didn't know it. I don't know.
If it makes you feel better, Andre Drummond is under 30.
What?
No, he's not. Stop it.
That's right. That can't be true.
He was a rookie during the Vine year. Go ahead, look it up.
I am.
All right, let's transition to Greg Popovich. He sets the record for all-time wins as an NBA coach. I don't think anyone doubted that, that was going to happen. So first, I want to figure out, like, Mo, do you think, like, how much longer do you think Pop is going to coach? Because I know a lot of people wonder, maybe this is his last year now that he's got the record and everything. I've heard some people say, like, look, he really likes the young guys on this team. It wouldn't shock me if he tried to hold out a couple more years and just kind of see some of this through. It doesn't seem like they have, like, a pathway for whoever that next coach is going to be. So I'm just curious where you think Pop is going to put his priorities next, and if that is just in retirement this summer.
No, I don't think Pop's going to retire. I think the reports are right on, and like Pop's just having a great time with these young kids, and you see him kind of talk about it and just look at the reaction those kids had when they won that game, right? They all circle Pop and jump up and down and things like that. Like, Pop's enjoying those guys, and I think it's kind of keeping him young almost, right? Mm-hmm. Being around them and everything that you know, the vibe and energy they're getting, and he lives off of these guys growing and developing. And so you kind of see him, like, DeJounte Murray makes a all-star game this year. Pop, nobody was more happy about it than Pop, maybe besides Murray, obviously. But Pop was just so ecstatic about it because there's pride and joy in that. And I think those are the things that Pop loves. And so these young guys, as long as they're willing to listen and work, I think Pop's going to stay for a while. And I think that's why we saw stuff like Becky Hammon taking the job with the Las Vegas Aces. You know, I think this is why we've seen other coaches leave, because they know that, hey, Pop's going to be here for a while. Like, he doesn't have any intentions of leaving at any point soon. So I don't think, I'll be surprised if he retires this year, and I'll even go a step further and even next season.
What were the biggest things you learned from Pop, man, while you worked for him?
I mean, it's not even basketball stuff, but it was just balancing basketball and being another and being an actual human being, right? Because, like, during the season especially,
you never got that second part.
Well, you know, I was only there 2 years, so it was the graduate course I never took, Zach. Yeah. But, like, you know, you figure the balance out. You know, Pop would come into the video room sometimes at like 3 p.m. and just kick us out, and it was just like, I'll tell all the guys, no, none of the work's getting done tonight, this and that. These guys are all, I'm sending you all home. You've been working too hard. Like, go sit on a patio somewhere. Go have a nice meal and hang out. Go do whatever the hell you guys do when you're not working. Of course, all of us, like, returned when he left, but that was, you know, but like,
wow, insubordinate.
A little bit, yeah. But hence why I was only there 2 years. But those were the things you kind of got from Pop, just kind of that balance, that it's like, this is basketball, it's great, you got to give it everything you got, but you also got to embrace and take the moments where you can have a chance to breathe and be a normal person. And Pop would do it with all the guys. You know, he would talk to the players about world events. You know, I was there during the Libyan Revolution, and Pop's talking to Tim Duncan and all these guys and going, like, Mo's Libyan, like, his country's going through a war right now. You know, and he would lecture them on that instead of going over the game film for the Chicago Bulls. It was weird, but he's kind of getting everybody sort of involved. Like, that's just the stuff I learned from Pop, in a way of, like, you can be a human being and be good at this basketball stuff. And those are the lessons I kind of take with me.
Who do we think is
if those are not familiar with video coordinators in the NBA, those are the most overworked people in the league normally. So getting kicked out at 3 is very rare. Like, that, dude, is,
we didn't
not
know
a
what to do. We didn't know.
NBA.
First, we thought he was joking. I thought it was a trap. This is a setup,
a
guys.
Test, yeah, a test that you're about to fail.
If you don't come back, he's going to be heated.
He's like, hey, guys, like, Mo bought it. He left. He's out. We got to get rid of him.
Right. You know, it's like the fingerprint thing wouldn't work anymore to let us in the building. Like, I thought it was a trap. So it's those types of things, you know, and all of that stuff from Pop, you know, and just kind of teaching and keeping everybody, sort of in tune. One of the funniest nights I had with him was I got invited to one of the Pop dinners, and he, as we're entering the restaurant, he grabs me and he's like, you have to sit next to me because I'm going to teach you how to eat. And I'm like, I'm kind of 30 at this point, Doc. Pop, I feel like I know how to eat. He's like, no, you don't, young fella. And then he just orders the rest of the night for me. You know, and that's, I mean, but these are the things you get from Pop, just his generosity and stuff that you don't see too often. And as long as you bust your ass working wise, he'll take care of you.
Who do we think is like has a legitimate chance to break that record of like current coaches? Like, is Spo the most likely? I heard someone.
He'd have to be, right?
Because I heard someone. Yeah, I heard someone mention Steve Kerr as a possibility just because they win so much. And I was like, I don't think Steve Kerr is going to coach that long.
Yeah. He'd have to coach till like 90. As much as they win, think how much Pop has won and for how long. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, suppose it's at 1,100, or I'm sorry, 652 wins right now, and he's been.
So he's like halfway coaching. There. Not even.
Yeah, and it's like that's, and he's been coaching for a long time. Yeah. Wow. He's 51.
Didn't Pop have like basically 20 straight seasons of
50 wins
or more, yep. except yep. for the one lockout year when they went 37-13 and won a title?
Yeah. Like, no, that's just, that's what it would take.
That's how long you have to do it.
Doc Rivers is the closest active.
Yeah.
And he needs about.
Doc's like 300 away?
350 away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to, if Doc's even going to be coaching that long.
Well, it's a good question. Like, if James Harden gets him fired in the next 2 years, you know?
Well, there were those rumors about the, about bringing in, Mike D'Antoni. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's, yeah, I mean,
yeah, Doc's 60 not that far, already. So, yeah.
Steve Kerr's not even in a top 20 list.
Right.
The next active coach is Rick Carlisle.
I mean, let me just read these win totals to you. Yes. This is starting 1993. 55, 62, 59. Then they won 20 games. Then it was 56, lockout season, 37-13. 53, 58, 58, 60, 57, 59, 63, 58, 56, 54. Like, what the hell? And then he did it for like 10 more years. I could keep going and going and going.
Boy, those 51 years are really, really disappointing. Only go 50 and 32? What's wrong? Some internal struggle.
And when you see other coaches, like their voice gets tired, you know? And
right.
Gotta stop listening.
That's
to
why
you.
I think Spo's the only one who like, well, I get Trey brings up a good point. Doc is only, like 300 wins, like, especially if he does coach the Sixers team for a while, that's, you know, 50 plus a year, right?
I mean, that's
going to be a chance to really catch up there. Because, I mean, if Doc coaches if Pop coaches two or three more years and Doc coaches, you know, 8-9 more years, like, that's a real chance.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Do you think Philly is going to be Doc's last spot? Let's just assume he's there for three more years.
I wouldn't assume that.
You think?
I don't know. Like, I don't know why. I just never assume, because we see good coaches get fired all the time.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say anything that he's going to get fired or anything, but just like, he's been coaching since he was 38 and he's 60 now. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, he, you know, there was always talks that he's going to go back to TV, you know, and I would be curious to see. I'm very curious to see how much more Doc wants to keep doing this.
So if Spo coaches another 20 years, he just has to win 34 games a year. That's doable. He's 20 years or 22 years younger than Pop.
I want early retirement for Spo. I don't even want to wish that on him. He gonna be bald as shit.
Oh yeah, he's struggling a little bit up there. Yeah, it's not the best situation up top. That's true. All right, we maybe don't believe that. Here's a transition. But what do we believe in, guys? It's time to play. Do you believe? That's gonna sound really good if Jay. Or if Jade puts in like some game show music under that, but if he doesn't and it's just that, it's going to sound really dumb. So Jade, it's your call.
Don't do it, but it would be really great if Jade did it.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Oh, do you believe? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do you believe? I don't know if I do. Do you believe?
let's play the game. Do you believe, guys, the Toronto Raptors are fire? They have been great. They beat the Suns this week. They are climbing up. Now, I don't know that they're going to be able to get into that top six in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. Like, they're very close. They're only a game behind Cleveland. Cleveland is on that slide. But, Jay King, do you believe in the Raptors?
I believe they are good. I believe they are like the second worst team that will make the East playoffs. But that's still really good. I don't believe they're
They used to mean you were the Orlando Magic, right? But now that actually this year, that's actually a compliment to be the second worst team that makes the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're better than Cleveland. I'll give them that. But other than that, they're not better than anyone.
Wow.
Sorry, Toronto.
Wow.
You've been great. I enjoy watching them play. They are just 6'8 freaks everywhere. Pascal Siakam has had a great rebound. Fred VanVleet, like, emerged as an all-star. Like, that's a – Scotty Barnes is just amazing to watch. I love Scotty Barnes. He just does everything. For a rookie, he's ridiculous. But – yeah, like they don't totally do it for me. They're plucky though. They're plucky.
That is not a compliment.
They're a plucky group.
Plucky.
Jay, I'm going to start referring to you as plucky. Are you going to be offended?
No, I would like to be plucky.
Okay.
Jay, the plucky god on Peloton, can.
Yeah.
Trey, do you believe in the Raptors?
Yes. I think that they're going to continue to win and get in a non-play-in situation. I see Cleveland falling.
Yeah.
You know, the Raptors have won three straight. Brooklyn's won three straight. They got Orlando next, so they'll probably improve a little bit more and put a little bit more pressure. But overall, the Raptors are clicking at the right time. And, you know, I don't think that's the team that the Brooklyn Nets want to see in a play-in. So hopefully they keep winning and they can avoid them because, you know, no Kyrie in Canada.
Mo, do you believe in the Raptors?
Like, I believe that they can get a outright playoff berth, but I don't believe they can win a first round series. Sorry, Toronto. Like, you're plucky, but you're not to the point that it's you're not to the point that it's going to be. Yeah, I think they could beat a Miami, a Philadelphia, or a Milwaukee team in a 7-game series. Like, I just don't. I think they can give you a series. I think they can get a game or two, maybe even force a game 7. But I don't think they can actually win the series. I don't trust that they can get 4 wins in the playoffs and move on to the second round. So, I mean, I guess I don't believe in them then, if that's the basis we're going with. So, yeah, I don't believe in them.
I do.
It's weird because you do believe.
Yeah. Not only do I believe they can get into the top six, they will get in top six and they will get into the second round. I think they beat the 3 seed. Whether that's Philly or Chicago or whoever, I think they're going to beat the 3 seed. I think Toronto is going to be hell for a lot of these teams.
So okay. So if the Bucks get the 3 seed, you think they're going to beat them?
No, the Bucks are the exception, but I don't think the Bucks are going to get the 3 seed.
You think they beat James Harden and Joel Embiid?
Do I think James Harden falls apart in a playoff series? Yes, I do.
But they still don't have the
size. Will he do it against
the
Raptors, though?
Yeah.
So here's my thing. They're plucky, but they don't have the defense that we're used to seeing from a Raptors team. Like, this is not the Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Kawhi Leonard Raptors, or even like they're just an average defense. And that's where, to me, they aren't good enough on that end to get away with the scores that they have.
I mean, the teams they're going to play, they just don't have the size. Maybe Chicago. Maybe they could beat Chicago. But they're not going to have any size to go up against an Embiid, a Giannis, or even a Bam if they end up playing the one seed in through the play-in tournament and things like that. Like, I just don't think they have the size that can really help them.
I think they would beat Chicago. I think they would probably beat Philly. I think they beat Boston. I think Toronto. I think Toronto's like really underappreciated. That's a good team.
You're a big believer.
Yes, that's a good team. Like Nick Nurse is a hell of a coach. Like they've
no one's a big believer than Nate Jones though. He said the Celtics are going to win a championship, bro.
The Celtics are going to win a championship.
Yeah,
an NBA championship.
They have what it takes to be a title.
Nate Jones.
My man, Nate Jones said that the Celtics have what it takes to make the finals.
Oh, yeah. He's been on Twitter. He's been on Twitter tooting their horn. He loves the Celtics.
I mean, they're defending their ass off, but they still took the L today. Like, I mean, again, I do respect it, but
that was my beliefs are not with him. Today. That was a nasty Celtics game was disgusting, man. Gee, I don't know how you covered that. That was disgusting basketball.
It was... There was not a lot of scoring down the street. I kind of figured it'd be a gross game.
It was Big Ten basketball.
It was KG day. Of course it was.
Yeah. It was the Wisconsin Mavericks against the Wisconsin Celtics. Double team. Like, that was what it was.
Like the Celtics were doing whatever they could to get it out of Luka's hands, and the Mavericks are doing whatever they could to get it out of Tatum's hands. And
you know who benefited? Rudy Gobert's nightmare, Dorian Finney-Smith. Lit up, man. Lit them up. 19 points there. I think they're all in the second half.
Little window into the group chat.
For my gambling folks, always take him 15 plus.
All right, let's go to the next one. Do you believe, speaking of the Devils, in the Mavs? Mo, we'll go with you first.
I believe in them. I think they can win a first round series.
Is that strictly against Utah, or can they beat somebody else?
I think they could beat Denver. They're not gonna likely to play Denver. I mean, they're most likely going to play Utah anyway. So, yeah, strictly against Utah. They're not really positioned to play anybody else.
Yeah, maybe Denver could sneak in there, but it does look like we're set up for that Utah-Dallas series.
Yeah, no, I think the way they're playing offensively and they have different guys, Spencer Dinwiddie's been really a different dude since he's gotten traded there. I mean, we just talked about Dorian Finney-Smith being Rudy Gobert's nightmare. Like, all of those things there, they're getting a lot of play there. They're doing a great job defensively. You watch, this was an ugly game that the Mavs would normally lose last season. And here they got contributions from everybody making plays. Jalen Brunson, everything like that. I believe in them. I think they're definitely going to win their first-round series.
We should do an awards spot at some point towards the end of the season, obviously.
Like, we all get awards? I get an award?
No.
No?
No, we're not doing participation trophies.
I need to start my own MVP campaign.
Because I want to talk about the idea. Like, Mavericks fans seem offended that Luka Doncic isn't mentioned for MVP. And I just don't think if you have to be fat shamed into getting into condition yes. a month and a half into the season, I just think it's going to be really hard to even crack the top five in MVP voting.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class links were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Yes.
And he's been great since, right? Like, he's been great since he got into shape. He has been transcendent. But this isn't just some like, we don't know if there's an MVP candidate. There's a bunch of MVP candidates out there. Like, I don't know if Jason Tatum's going to make the top five, right? And look how ridiculous he's playing.
Yeah, I've never had him in that conversation because it has to be from start to finish.
Yeah.
And when you really think about it, like, even the start to finish guys are starting to kind of slow down. Like, they're even getting to the point where, like, I mean, when you really look at it, right? Everybody was screaming Embiid. I mean,
Jokic is in the mix.
Jokic is in the mix. I'm really pushing for Jokic. DeMar DeRozan has calmed down. Those Chris Paul, Devin Booker talks have calmed down.
John Morant's even kind of like, he wasn't, like, he's not scoring 30 anymore, right? Like, he's only getting 20 and 10 these nights.
He was like one of those hot rappers, though. Like, everybody wrote the wave and, like, it's now fizzled. So, like, when you really think about from Tip to now, Jokic or Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I think for Dallas, like, it's good that Luka has gotten them to this point because they do look like they can finally break through that first round barrier. I believe in them in the sense that I think they can beat Utah. I don't think they're going to face Denver. I don't know that I think they would beat Denver, which maybe sounds crazy to say. I guess maybe it's kind of hypocritical because you guys were just talking about how could Toronto handle Joel Embiid with all, you know, with that lack of size. I don't know how Dallas would handle Jokic with their lack of size, right? Like, Kleber and Dwight Powell are going to do that?
Well, let me ask you a question. Who do you feel like can handle Jokic?
I mean, what he's going to get his, like, I would rather him get his points than get his assists, right? Yeah, so, like, I'm cool weathering the 40-point storms as long as they don't come with, like, 8 assists. And I don't think they have anyone to keep him from doing either.
Yeah, and very few teams, I think, do.
Sure, but, like, I would feel confident in, like, Golden State defending him, in Memphis defending him, right? And obviously Phoenix defending him. We saw that last season. Like I would feel confident in those teams. Once Jamal Murray gave us the story of Rudy Gobert saying, I don't need a double, and Jokic's like, bro, I got 47 on you. I was like, all right, I don't care what Rudy does. Like, I'm not going to believe that that's a good matchup, no matter what.
Dallas is weird because, like, they don't have a ton of guys who are known for defense, but every time you watch them, it seems like they are dialed in. They make all the right plays. They're always on a string. And so I trust those defenses more against top talents than, like, maybe defenses that just have, like, a couple great defenders but aren't necessarily all on the same page.
Yeah, I mean,
like, they've done it all year long. I actually believe in their defense, no matter – even though, like, obviously – they have some guys who in the past would have been known as weak links. It's just like they are fully bought in and they always seem to know the scouting report. The way they flew around after double teams on Tatum was unlike anything the Celtics have seen in a long time. Like, that was just next level, the defense after the double teams. And so when you can do that, like, you can get away with not having a perfect matchup for the best player on the other team.
Yeah, I think with that, like, it's really good on a random night in the regular season. I'm curious what it looks like in a 7-game series.
That's exactly what I was going to say. When a team gets to kind of scheme and figure out where we're going to attack, how we're going to attack the weak points, and how we're going to get switches and go at Luka and things like that, like, that's a very different deal. You know, when you have teams that are going regular season, we talk about it all the time. You're just trying to make it to the next game sometimes, you know, and keep your philosophy solid, but you don't tweak your game plan in particular for one guy, which happens in the playoffs. So that's why I'm a bigger believer in their offense than I am in their defense come playoff time.
I think I agree with that too. Especially, like, I didn't really get the Spencer Dinwiddie acquisition. Not because I don't think he's good. I thought they had their guard play settled already. And that has really worked out for them. That ended up being a really good move for them because they can play Luka, Dinwiddie, and Jalen Brunson all at the same time, and it looks great. That is a fun lineup when they have those three on the floor together. Okay, what about, do you believe, and Trey, I'll start with you on this, as they start to get healthy, do you believe in the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, who have still remain competitive? DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine doing a great job most nights. They got Caruso back. Lonzo should be back soon, I guess, right? I don't know when Lonzo's supposed to be back. But do you believe in the Bulls now that Alex Caruso is back?
Believe in them to do what?
That's a good question. What about, let's just say, like,
we should have James Edwards on the pod. I want to see how much he believes in them.
Let's say, like, you believe they will, not they can, but they will get to the second round.
I believe that.
Okay.
I believe that. But anything past second round, that's asking for a lot. Just because they're so inconsistent health-wise and player-wise and all that. And
yeah.
I love that they, you know, turned nothing into something, you know what I mean, for the negative flack they got in the summer and have been able to, you know, at least have – bring some joy to the city of Chicago and fans along the world, being first in the East at one point in time, you know, and have been fluctuating throughout. And
it's still only three back, right? Still only three back. Like they're in the mix.
Yeah. But you know, regular season, having the best record in regular season means nothing. I mean, just only for people that have never been there before. Yeah. So, at this point you just got to look at it like, okay, well, what are they going to do? And I think if they matched up with a certain specific team that they can beat, like, I think they could beat a Philly with all their players. I think that they can beat, I don't think they can beat Milwaukee. I don't think that they can beat Brooklyn if Brooklyn has Simmons and Kyrie on the road.
Yeah. I honestly don't, I don't know that I would, I think I would take KD and everybody else over Chicago in a series.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm pushing for Chicago to get out of the first round. I really want to see them go really far, and I would love to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my main thing. I don't. If I'm wrong, I'm happy, but realistically, I don't see them going past the second round.
I feel like Jay King is going to slander them, so I'll go to Mo next. Mo, do you believe in the Bulls?
No, and I just think it's part of the injuries and things like that have just, you know, even they got Caruso back. We haven't even heard when they might get Lonzo Ball back. I think just too much time with those guys out, their defense is going to struggle. I don't think they could beat Boston in a series. I think Boston's too locked in defensively with everything Boston, like that.
That would be a tough matchup for them.
That's a real tough matchup, especially if Lonzo Ball's not 100%. Right. And he's coming back from a knee injury. Like, it's one thing for Caruso to come back from a broken wrist, you know, like a knee injury. I feel like the lower body injuries are tougher to come back from in that scenario. And I think that's what makes me really kind of worry about them. I just don't think they have what it takes to get out of the first round unless they get lucky and end up playing Cleveland somehow. Like, Cleveland's the team in the East everybody's going to want to beat.
Everybody.
Yeah. Just because I think the injuries finally caught up to them. Right. Like, they're asking Darius Garland to do too much.
Caught up to him, and they're too young.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just all of that. You know, it's just
a lot of Dean Wade.
Right.
A lot of Chetty Osman.
And if they make the playoffs outright, they can get swept. It's still an unbelievably successful season for Cleveland. Great building block moving forward, all that fun stuff. But the other teams in the East are hoping they stay at six, and they're trying to find out how to get the three seed.
I'm not going to ask Jay how do you believe in the Bulls. I'm going to say, how little do you believe in the Bulls?
So I believe in them a lot more than I believe in them at the start of the season. I will say that.
Okay.
But I just think, as good as they've been and as great as DeMar DeRozan has been, it's just a flawed roster come playoff time. Like, Vucevic is going to be a target. And Lonzo Ball and Caruso, as good as they are defensively, that group has limitations at the other end of the court that you can game plan against in a series. I don't trust all of their depth in the playoffs. And so those are the questions I have. They'll look a lot better once they get Ball and Caruso back. Like, those guys are enormous to what they do. They are the defensive integrity of that roster. And they set the tone in a way that just doesn't happen when they're gone. So they'll be a lot tougher when they're healthy. But yeah, just the East is low. Like, there are a lot of really good teams in the East. So when I say I think Chicago will probably lose in the first round, it's not necessarily an insult. I think they could knock off basically any team in the first round. Like, they're capable of doing that if DeRozan and LaVine are both playing at a super high level.
I don't agree with that.
But
I don't think they could beat Miami or Milwaukee. I don't think there's a chance.
I don't think they could beat Philly.
Philly, maybe. I don't know. I
know we're all afraid of James Harden. But,
in the wrong way, you mean. Like,
exactly. In the implosion of James Harden.
It's so weird that's always hanging over any conversation I have about Philly now. I'm just like, I don't know about this James Harden thing in the playoffs. And, like, he hasn't been that bad, but the flame out is always historically weird.
No, he's only good when the series is pretty much over. You know, like, that's kind of the thing, right? Like, we haven't seen him have an amazing game seven, or we've seen, you know, or him put the team on his back and close out a series or come back down 3-2 or something like that. But I got a question for you guys. So I want to throw out a random do you believe team, and I'm going to add a caveat to it. Do you believe the Memphis Grizzlies can get to the conference finals?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I thought that was going to be a tougher answer.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I've been sad for 2 months. They're going to get to the conference finals.
I'm going
to
say no.
They absolutely could.
Why not, Trey?
I'm just not buying it.
But what? Like, what's?
I'm
like,
not buying it.
And who's going to get there? Who's going to get there?
Phoenix and Memphis.
The conference finals?
They're not.
Phoenix and Golden State.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely could happen. But I just have so many questions about Draymond. What he's going to look like when he gets back, how he's going to play.
How they just beat Milwaukee ass, I am not worried about it.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, it's they got an unbelievable night from Klay Thompson. Unreal night.
That never happens in the playoffs.
And Poole, like, all those guys.
I think Wiseman, I think a lot of those cats going to be, contributing in different ways.
I'd be way more confused about the Jordan Poole night than the Klay Thompson night, Mo.
No, but what I'm saying is, but here's the thing, though. It's like, I want to see Klay do this consistently, just coming back from the knee injury. Trust me, I'm not at all confused about Jordan Poole night. He had an unbelievable night and got hot. I don't know if I don't have the expectations he's going to be able to recreate that during the playoffs. I don't. On Jordan Poole, you guys can come back and throw that in my face during the playoffs. The biggest question mark is Klay, because he's still coming back from that. Like, there's going to be nights where he's going to blow up, but there's been a lot of nights where he hasn't looked right.
Yeah, but if you look at the scoring rate that he has, it's higher than the year he got hurt. Like, the efficiency isn't there, but he's passing better and he's scoring at a better rate per 36 minutes than he did in his last season.
I'm not ready to judge Klay until Draymond gets back.
Yeah. I mean,
Draymond changes everything for Klay.
That's fair. That's fair.
Just like he changes everything for Steph.
And the Draymond's a big question mark. I'm not with you on the James Wiseman stuff, just because, like, how much has he he really has played such little basketball.
Nah,
over the
he's
past
just
few...
he's playing with Santa Cruz right now.
No, I know. I mean,
at the end of the day, I'm not saying that he's going to change the whole thing, but I do think
he's a body.
If they make a run, they'll have the proper players that they need. So at the end of the day, I do think that they're good enough to get out of the first round. I do think that Draymond has missed a crazy amount of time, if they haven't called him out for the season yet, that he'll be back before then. And I do think that these other players are going to step their game up to get there. I like I said, I love the Memphis Grizzlies. I do believe that the Memphis Grizzlies could upset teams, but I'm not buying yet.
Yeah, until you can guarantee me that Draymond's going to be healthy, I can't buy in on the Warriors until I know Draymond's going to be healthy.
And Steve Kerr has a lot of decisions to make regarding that. Like, there's nothing set about their rotation, I feel like. Like, they don't know who's going to be their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best player in a playoff series. And I don't think they have any idea. Like, how much do you play Kuminga, who flashes a lot of potential, he's going to be really good. But right now, how much will he help you in a playoff series? You know, how do you reacclimate Wiseman when he gets back from the G League? Like, there are just a lot of questions. Like, how much do you play Gary Payton? How much do you play Bielitsa? Like, how do you start Jordan Poole next to Curry and Clay like they did in the last game? I just feel like there's a lot unsettled about that team right now, far more than Kerr would probably like at this stage of the season.
All right, we got one more. Do you believe winners of 15 of the last 20, the surging Minnesota Timberwolves? And by believe, let me be clear. Okay. That's not to like they're going to upset someone in the first round, but just, is it going to be a good appearance? Like, they're only a game and a half behind Denver at the time of us recording this. I don't know if either of them play tonight, but they're only a game and a half behind Denver. So they could sneak into that sixth seed. They could overcome Denver and get into that sixth seed, and then they would face the Warriors in the first round. That would be a disaster. But if
these
they
dudes are 39-30, yeah, man.
They've been like legitimately good for like 2 months. It's crazy. Like, so just, are they going to, for believe, I'll just like, will they avoid being swept in the playoffs?
That's such a low bar.
Not for the Timberwolves. They're two wins away from having the second season in franchise history that is a 500 or better record without Kevin Garnett involved.
Wow.
That's where so yes, that's a high bar for this team, okay? The only other time it happened was Jimmy Butler when he dragged them to the playoffs. Like, that is the only other time that they have had a non-losing season without Kevin Garnett involved. So, yeah. Do you think the Wolves can avoid being swept in the playoffs? Yeah, I think that's an accomplishment. I don't think anybody had them doing this year at 39-30.
No, you're right about that. I believe they can get a game in the playoffs.
They're gonna get swept.
Maybe just me being more hopeful.
They're gonna get swept, man.
They're
gonna run into the Suns, or they're going to run into the Warriors, or they're going to run into the Grizzlies.
I think they can beat the Grizzlies. I think they can take a game.
I think they
can
get a game on the Grizzlies. Yes,
I think I actually agree there. If they play the Grizzlies, they will.
You know
they
what?
Will not get swept.
They will get a game on the Warriors if they face them. How about that?
Ooh,
yeah.
Wiggins is gonna throw the game though.
But that he doesn't know he's going to do that. Yeah. That's just, you know, he's been struggling since the All-Star game, man. I don't know if that was a good thing for him.
What's going on with his free throw shooting?
Well, his free throw shooting's always kind of been a little iffy. It's always been not what it should be.
Not this bad. He went full Nick Anderson.
He looks like Andre Drummond out there. Shout out to Andre Drummond.
He's full Nick Anderson, man.
This Wolves team, though, man, I'm legitimately no longer looking for the other shooter. In fact, I think they're the best team in the play-in tournament.
It took you this long, but
it took them getting nine games above 500. Yes, it sure
with like
did.
12 games left or something. Yeah. Like, it took that long for me to go, maybe it's not going to drop.
To be fair, 2 months ago, I was like, they'll get to the play-in tournament just because I think the Lakers suck. You know, so I've kind of believed in them to get into the playoffs by default. But now I legitimately believe that, like, no, this is the seventh best team in the West. As long as, like, Paul George and Kawhi don't come back, obviously.
Right,
but if it's not going to set up this way, well, I guess no, it could if they lose to the Clippers and then they face the Lakers for the 8 seed. But I think they would wax the Lakers in a play-in game.
I don't know if the Lakers are going to beat New Orleans. It's, I mean, 9-10 game. They're getting smoked right now by Phoenix. Like, I don't know if I don't trust them to beat them. Like, I can't look at that as a guarantee.
Oh my God, LeBron better have another 50-point game in his arsenal.
He's gonna need several. Like,
I want to see if he goes for 50 while they lose by 40 against Phoenix.
The only thing that matters right now, get to Kareem. That's all you got to do.
We are recording this while the Lakers are down 35-14, and I'm very curious to see whether LeBron goes for 50. I feel like the scoring title at this age is like a notch that he wants.
For sure.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the only thing he feels he can get.
Yeah, because the wins are coming.
I was gonna say that six ring shit is out. It's over.
Oh my God, yeah.
He's only playing for Kareem, and he's playing for potentially being the scoring scoring champ
at
37 years old.
That's why I laugh when people are like, do you think the Lakers are going to shut him down or LeBron's going to
shut
him down?
No, man.
He needs every game.
He's lost too many games.
Yeah, he needs every game to try to catch Kareem.
Yeah, I think at this point, I think if he averages 25 a game, I think it's like for the next 60 or something like that, he passes Kareem. So it's not like he's got to like really get these games
50,
in.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he had a lot of time missed the last three seasons unexpectedly.
Yeah, you can't risk it.
Yeah,
you know?
So you gotta get these games in, LeBron. Like, go do it. Go. I don't even get back on defense. Just wait for. Just post up on the low block the entire game.
Let's just.
You
be
guys
honest,
can't. Even, you guys ain't defending for shit anyway. Might as well just go out there and do a road ball from here on out. Plan like.
It's Tony Rotenball from here on out.
Anyways,
Tony Rotenball, man. LeBron, just be like Tony Roten. That's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed. You get the daily ding with it. Make sure you subscribe to all the other podcasts on the network, all the team specific ones. No Dunks, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle, all that good stuff, and subscribe to The Athletic. For Mo Dakhil, for Jay King, for Trevon Edwards, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.
Together, and that's certainly been the case in my life.